Grace be to you and peace from God and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the risen one. I have made known your name to them, and I will make it known, so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, how deeply the world is in need of love. Of the love that the Father has given you and that you have given us. Wash us in your love as you wash us in your blood and in with your bread. Let that love shine from us for each other and for all whom you send into our world. We ask it in your blessed name. Amen. Family in Christ, that's who we are. The last four chapters in my little beat up Bible. This Bible is about the oldest thing I have, I think. The last four chapters in this Bible are red letter Bible, red letter, it's a red letter edition. And the red letters are indicating the word spoken by our Lord in his farewell discourse, of which our gospel reading today is the final word. After this, the farewell discourse is over and the new chapter begins. In chapter 13, Jesus has defined his ministry as servanthood. And he has told the disciples of his upcoming betrayal. Then in chapter 14 to 16, Jesus unleashes a verse after verse of teaching. These chapters made us feel as if our dying leader has called his followers of every age together to give us a last round of instructions. Make sure that you remember these things seems to come out of these readings. Now here in the 17th chapter of John, Jesus turns to prayer. In these last four chapters, Jesus has taught his followers all we need to know and to do in order to live our life as the children and witnesses to God's forgiving love and grace. And he knows our weaknesses and our inabilities in resisting the glitzy temptations of the prince of this world. So in this priestly prayer, he turns to the Father, interceding, pleading for all these others as priests intercedes for his people. And in this prayer, Jesus models once again that unalienable truth that the deepest moments of our lives are those when our hearts are big and wide enough to include other people. And the key words in this prayer are belief and oneness and love. Foremost, Jesus prays for those who have come to believe in him, his disciples. Then for all those who will come to believe in him because of the witness of the disciples, and then he prays for the whole world, that all might come to believe. This prayer for faith is like the breath of God, the life-giving breath of God for the evangelistic task of the congregation. For of primary concern in this prayer of Jesus is the nurturing and the growing in faith of all those within the family of faith. Now when we think nurture, we think of Sunday school, or we think of confirmation class. Sometimes maybe we may think of sermons, and sometimes we may think of congregational meetings. But mostly we think of Sunday school and confirmation classes. But learning to believe and growing in that belief is an ongoing experience from the time we are baptized to to the time where the final words of God's grace and love are spoken over us. We can never exhaust the limits of God's word and the meaning of God's love and grace and forgiveness for every instance and every relationship in our lives. We can't. It takes a whole lot of immersing ourselves into God's word in communion with others and in sharing and supporting each other in that nurturing experience. I must say, it takes a whole lot more than one worship experience on Sunday that can provide. The congregation engaged in being nurtured and growing in faith would make sure that opportunities are provided for the regular study and sharing of God's word and the implications that brings to bear on our daily lives. And it's a pity that so very few of our congregations have regular meetings of discovery kind of Bible studies, which provide opportunity to grow together in maturity, in faith, and in love for God. And next to this nurturing function stands that of outreach, the community that is working to being nurtured and is continually growing in faith reaches out in word and deed to those in the community it encounters in their daily lives. It is eager to use the skills and insights it has gained in intentionally sharing the gospel to all whom the community encounters. And the third activity is to be considered with this key word of belief, of faith, of witness, service, and mission in the world. Both the world far away and the world nearby. Belief here is more than accepting a cognitive information. It means recognizing and accepting the fact as fact that Jesus has been sent by the one he calls Abba, Father. John Chrysostom, a bishop of the early church, said that people of the world come to share this belief only by observing the transformed lives of the followers of Jesus. And how will they believe then, he asked. Because Jesus said to the Father, "You are a God of peace." And therefore, he said, if the followers of Jesus keep that same peace that they have learned from Jesus, their hearers will know the teacher by the disciples. However, if they quarrel, people will not accept that they are disciples of a God of peace, and therefore will not accept that Jesus, not being peaceable, could have been sent from God. I think that's very simply put, what happens in our lives, what happens when we live, if we live to show the peace of God from us, in us, and between us, others would be drawn to that peace. If we keep calling among us, and if the outside world hears that and sees that, they won't darken our doors. They will go somewhere else. So can we, brothers and sisters in Christ, accept the fact that living faithfully is a challenge not only for personal goodness, but as a call to let our lives invite others to follow Jesus, to create a hunger for living a life following the ways of this Lord of peace. And we may never know the impact our faithfulness has had and the life of those who observe us. We may never know. We may never know that they turn around and that they decide that there is some truth that they can learn from worship. But if we ask for a truthful answer from some who have left the church, disunity and outright enmity in the Christian churches is something they do not want to share. And so may God keep us from giving such negative witness to our communities. Now the second key word Jesus points to in this petition to the Father on our behalf is oneness. A than the actual oneness or unity for the believers. Can we even imagine the agony it must have cost Jesus as he moved steadily towards his death, but still saw and heard the squabbling and power plays of his disciples? For that matter, how much agony must we today cost Jesus as he observes the squabbles in our own congregations and in our denominational disunity and destructive activities and disarray between the religions of the world? You know, the display of efforts for unity among religions and denominations, as our present Pope Francis is making, are so very important for unity that it may lead others in the world to believe. If we have no other, it would greatly benefit each one of us to follow his example, even though he's not our Pope, but he is the Pope of all of Christianity, at least he says he is. The word ecumenism best describes the effort by which God would have the whole world be organized. It represents the single effort to express the unity to which we Christians are called. We find our unity in the common acceptance of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Redeemer of the world. But that ultimate unity doesn't come through our human efforts, but through the oneness of God. There is an exclusive kind of theologian called Fred Kahn, and he wrote a little prayer that expresses our need, and it's very short. He said, "Help us accept each other as Christ accepted us. Teach us as sister or a brother, each person to embrace. Be present, God, among us and bring us to believe that we are ourselves accepted and meant to love and to live. And I say, make it so, dear Lord, for each one of us." And the last theme from our Lord's Prayer for us is the theme of love. Love is the key ingredient of all godly relationships. Love is the bond in the Godhead itself and between the divine unity and us. Jesus says that the world may know that you have sent me and love them even as you love me. And love is the gift of the Godhead to the disciples, that you love them even as you love me. Love is the magnet of grace through which God seeks to attract the whole world, and is the ingredient that our Lord prays for to be within us so that God's vision for the whole world may be achieved. Throughout all of the history of salvation, God has always worked his loving grace and purpose through faithful people, even as they struggle to follow faithfully. And in today's world, my friends, that task falls on each one of us. To some, these prayers may seem to be nothing but sentimental mishmash, but we know how the story ends, don't we? For this love Jesus prays for us comes in the shape of the cross. Jesus prays for, and there is indeed glory in his loving unity with us. But this glory cannot be separated from the crucifixion, because it is the self-giving love that is resurrected to new life within us. I think it's so very appropriate that on this day, when we are celebrating and giving thanks for the mothers of the world, that Jesus speaks to us about the self-giving love of the cross. Where's not the self-giving love of a mother who would gladly give her life for her child, the best example for us in our world about the hugeness of the sacrificial love God has in Jesus Christ, not just for some, but for all the world? May we always, in all the ups and downs of our days, find that seed of love for God that drives us to give thanks and praise to God, to his never-ending love and God's never-ending praise for us. And we give praise to God, for next Sunday we celebrate Pentecost, the pouring out of the Holy Spirit upon all human flesh, who has the power to break down all walls and barriers among us people and between us and our God, and who offers us all the bond of unity, one by faith in our Christ, our risen Savior and our Lord, the Christ. Amen. And amen. And thanks be to God.